Hallelujah. We magnify your holy name, Father. We lift you up. We adore you. Happy birthday, Jesus. Happy birthday, Jesus. Happy birthday, Jesus. Happy birthday, Jesus. We glorify your holy name, oh God. Oh, we love you. We adore you. We exalt you. We thank you. Lord, breathe upon us by the Holy Spirit today through your word as we hear you, as you speak. Let the word that you have prepared for us, let it find fertile soil in our heart. Cause that our ears will be open for every man and every woman. Let not a single word that you speak go by our ears without finding contact. Let the word be implanted. There are a few days before this year is over. In these few days, you can still do much.
Yes.
We do not limit you by the calendar. We don't look at our wristwatches and limit you. Lord, to you, 1,000 years can be like one day.
Yes.
In 7 days, you can even do things that we have not experienced all year long.
Yes.
That's what we are looking for. That in this celebration of our Savior, our Messiah, our Jesus, as you remind us of what he did and how he did it, and as you prepare us, and as you declare even beyond things that we have thought about, cause, Lord, that there be an enlightening.
Amen.
Cause that there be an alighting.
Amen.
Cause that there be a glorious wave.
Amen.
In the name of the Holy Spirit.
In the name of Jesus.
We truly thank you.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
From the bottom of our hearts.
Thank you, Jesus.
I pray for every man and every woman, every young person, every child under the sound of my voice today. Whether they are here gathered in this room or online somewhere in the world, there is no distance in the spirit. What you can do in one place, you can do in another. You are not limited. So bless us. Touch us. Do that which you have ordained and that which you have prepared. Let this be a service with a difference, a message with a difference. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Come on, put your hands together and say, happy birthday, Jesus. Everybody help me do that. Say, happy birthday, Jesus. We love the Lord. We love the Lord. I love the sound of this. Yeah, I can preach with you. I love the sound of it. Amen, amen. Somebody say, happy birthday, Jesus. I thank God. I thank God for my pastors. They are awesome people. Glory to God. We're so blessed to have them. Amen. They do so much that we do not see. Amen. Some of them have been here while some of us were still sleeping. They were already here setting up and getting ready. Lord will reward them mightily. And I thank all of you for being here. Please be seated in the Lord's presence. Thank you so much for being here today in our Christmas, for our Christmas service. My heart is really excited and delighted as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, together. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's a different kind of a Christmas service, so you have to bear with me. If you were here last year, it was kind of different because I know Pastor Tino and I were looking at that program together. I think it was maybe last night or sometime. And I thought, well, you know, you look on that program from last year, we had everything planned. That's the way we were led. Every year we just go with the flow of the Holy Spirit and how we're led. And, you know, we had that program planned. And somewhere when it came to the line for this, you know, preaching or whatever, we had an exhortation. Because I remember last year, I just wanted us to read these Bible scriptures, Christmas story, birth of Jesus, and just have a good time and go home. That's what it was last year. And this year, the Lord, I know, is quickened in my spirit to minister further on some of the things that I was ministering earlier on in the month to prepare us to finish this year properly. So bear with me if you came for a very short sandwich message, like we just read Matthew chapter 1, especially my young ones, my children, my teenagers. I know you are all looking beautiful. You are exciting. I'm excited to see all of you. But if you came just for us to sing a few carols and then go home, I hate to disappoint you. I have to minister a slightly fuller message than that. Amen? Because there are some things that the Lord will have me say to you. They are very important. They're very, very important. So I pray that your ears are open and that you are able to receive. I want to praise God, take a minute and thank God for the India mission and what the Lord accomplished through them. And I'm very excited. Maybe during the watch night service, we can throw up a few of their pictures and videos from their recent dedication of their sanctuary. And thank God for Pastor Ashish and his wife Pinky and their entire team. Let's thank God for all of them. Amen. Glory to God. They did wonderful. It was a step of faith. Took a huge leap of faith. And the Lord will reward that. Amen. The Lord will fulfill the desires of their hearts. I thank God so very much for Pastor Stella, who went all the way to dedicate that sanctuary. Glory to God. Now, I sent her with a special message. I said, prepare them. Tell them we're on our way. When we go, we're going to take the nation. Amen. We're sowing the seeds and getting ready. So I'm so excited. The Lord blessed all the events that they did. All the services were blessed. And glory to God. And they had a wonderful time. I'm so very thankful. I'm sure those of you who are on social media saw some of their pictures already. So praise God. And for our service, I think just for the benefit of those of us who don't necessarily do social media stuff, on that watch night service, we should put up some of their stuff so we can really thank God. They're really beautiful. Amen. Glory to God. And finally, I also want to thank God. Well, not finally. I want to thank God for our pastors, our ministers who ran their service here last Sunday. What a glorious service you guys had. Amen. We also had a very beautiful children's party the Friday before that Sunday. Thank you. Thank you to all our children's church ministers. Deacon Ezini, thank you for making it happen, pulling everybody together. God bless you. We appreciate you greatly. Let's thank God. Let's thank God for all these precious people. Amen, amen. And finally, what a glorious message Deacon Kermit ministered last Sunday. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Yeah, we were just soaking it up, Talking about Nehemiah, a man that God gave an assignment to build. One of the things that made that message so beautiful, so powerful, is Nehemiah was not a preacher, right? It's not a pastor standing behind a pulpit. Like sometimes when you have pastors and preachers who stand behind the pulpit and preach, we're just doing what God called us to do. It's important, but that's what we're called to do. Amen. But when you have people in the marketplace being used by God for special assignments like that, that is very significant. And Nehemiah's story is always a blessing. One of the other good things about it was he started and he finished. Amen. He started and he finished. He didn't start that project and then abandon it. There are a lot of countries in the world, some of you know that, you know some of those, you've seen some of these kind of projects. They start, and then those things are there for like 10 years. You keep passing, it's like, you know, there's just one level of the building. And then you ask, after 10 years, you say, what's going on? They say, they've abandoned it. They started, they can't finish. That's not the way God does it. When God does anything in your life, when he starts anything, he finishes it. Amen. So as we celebrate our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, today, we celebrate his life, we celebrate who he is and all that he has done for us. We are also celebrating the fact that he finished well. Amen. You know, we won't have a Christmas celebration today if Jesus didn't finish well. Do you know that? He was born. We know all the stories around his birth, right? How all the angels came, all the wise men, and good, 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 good. But if Jesus did not complete his assignment, you and I will not have Christmas service today. The reason we're able to celebrate his life is because he started and he finished. And my prayer for you is that as you have started, you will also finish. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Glory to God. So bear with me. I'm going to kind of carry that message a little bit forward. I titled it 2 weeks ago. I kind of started talking to you about it. And some of the things I was talking to you about in that service and some of the things I'll talk to you about in this service is really like a lot of just touching some things. I'll tell you some things that are very remarkable that you need to pay a lot of attention to. But it's really just touching, because I believe that in the new year, the Lord is going to have us even delve a little deeper into some of these things. There's got to be some mighty revelations coming out of some of this stuff where the Lord can help us align with his purpose and help us arrive at our destiny. Look at your neighbor, tell them we're going somewhere. Come on, say that like you have confidence about it. Say, we're going somewhere. We didn't just drop out of the skies. We didn't just show up here, you know, trying to mark time and trying to be. No, we are going somewhere. Tell that neighbor, say, we are going somewhere. God has a plan and he has a purpose and he's taking us somewhere. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Okay, so in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, this is where we started from last week. It says there, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, 2 weeks ago, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. And he finished. And now he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Looking unto Jesus. The Amplified Version of the Bible puts it this way. It says, looking away from all that we distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive to our belief, and he is also the finisher. Somebody say he's the finisher. Bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. He ignored the shame. And he is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. It is very important, my friends, that we finish well. There are too many starters in the world, very few finishers. It is very exciting to start. Starting anything is very exciting. But finishing is more important. Hallelujah. It is your finish that determines your reward. One of my favorite scriptures, I don't usually get an opportunity to preach on it or teach on it that much, just because of the way it is and where it is in the Bible, is 2 John verse 8. You put that up for me, please. Put it up first in the King James, and then let's read it in the Amplified as well. It's really one of my favorite scriptures. I know you know I have many favorite scriptures, but this is one of the favorite ones. All right, so this is 2 John verse chapter 2, I think. Let me get it right. 2 John. Is it 1:8? No, it's not 1:8. It's 2 something. Let me find it for you. Yes, Alpha, Alpha. Be patient. 2 John verse 9. Sorry, verse 8 actually. Are you there in 2 John?
Yes.
Verse 8, right? Do you have it? 2 John verse 8. Yes? There's only one chapter. 2 John verse 8. I'm the one preaching. Are there two preachers? There's only one preacher. She's like going to come and take the microphone. She wants to preach the thing for me. No, I'm the one preaching today. So hold your cool, hold your peace. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor, tell them we're going somewhere. All right, look at it up there. Look at there. Give it to me in the New King James is good. Let's read the New King James first, and then we read the Amplified as well. Look at it. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we have worked for. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we have worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. That means it is possible for you to labor all your life, for you to work hard all your life at different assignments that you had, but to be cut off from your reward. It is possible. It is possible to start and to run very well and to have a great beginning and to do a lot of great things along the way and to be well known, renowned all across the world for great things that you did. It is very possible for you to have played a significant role in certain areas of life. But when it comes to time to receive a reward, for you to not be present. Look to yourselves, he said, that we do not lose. You cannot afford to lose your labor. You have suffered too much. You have given too much. You have sacrificed too much. You cannot afford not to reap a reward of your harvest. You cannot afford to lose it. You cannot afford to lose it. So finishing well is very important, my friends. I want you to put that up for me in the Amplified. Let's look at that real quick. Glory to God. Look to yourselves, he says. Take care that you may not lose, throw away, or destroy all that we and you have labored for. Look at it. We and you. That is, we all labor together. Yes. It wasn't only we who labored. And it wasn't only you that labored. All of it's we and you. Somebody say we and you labored. The English is very, it's interesting. But it's we and you who labored. You are reading it in the Bible yourselves. I didn't come up with this stuff. It is we and you who labored. He says, but be careful. Look to yourself that you don't throw away what we and you labored for. Watch this. But that you may persevere. You may persevere until you win and receive back a perfect reward in full. I found out. As you get close to the finish, sometimes the race gets more difficult. Have you ever run a relay race? Marathon race? Have you ever been? Anybody here ever run marathon? Oh my goodness. The closer you get to the end, it's like you have to gather all your strength. It's like your lungs are busting. It's like everything is packing up on you. You have already run 1.5 miles. Let's extend it. Let's say you've already run 10 miles because it's only in America they run 1.5 miles and they call it marathon. Hallelujah. Let's say you have already run 10 miles and your lungs are busting out and you have just like 0.5 mile to go and everything just seems like everything is going to pack up. It gets very difficult. The closer you get to the end, the closer you get to the sweetest part. The sweetest part. It's the same thing in life. It's the same thing in family. It's the same thing in marriage. It's the same thing in everything. The closer you get to the sweetest part, the most difficult stretch comes about. And sometimes it feels like everything is fighting you to quit. Everything is calling your name to quit. The Bible says, look to yourself that you persevere until you win and receive back a perfect reward in full. In full. I don't know about you. I must reap my harvest. I must reap my harvest. You can't give all this. You can't sow all this. You can't labor all this. You can then give your life and give your precious to all these things that are important in your life. And then when you get towards the point when it is the sweetest, then you pack it up and leave. Somebody say, I must reap my reward. Come on, somebody say, I must reap my reward. Hallelujah. In full. Glory be to God. Stay with me. God is going to speak some things to you here. God is going to say some things to you. You know where he says in, what's the Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9? I think it's Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. Put that up for me in the King James. Be not weary. Is it Galatians 6, 9 or 10? I think it's 9. Find it for me. I think it's 9. Yeah, 9, 9. Let's look at that first in the King James and then let's look at it in the Amplified. And let us not grow weary while we are doing good. Yes. Why? For in due season, what will happen? We shall reap. If. Somebody say if. Somebody say there's a big if. In due season. We shall reap if we faint not, if we do not lose heart. Now, let's read that in the Amplified, and then let's go a little bit to the Old Testament. Let's do a few things in the Old Testament. Look at this. Let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. It is very easy to follow the wrong example. The reason the whole world is going in a wrong direction today. Most of the world is going in the wrong direction today. It is very popular to follow the wrong example. The reason it is so easy to miss it is because majority are missing it. But you and I must make up our mind. What did the Bible say in Hebrews 12:2? We must follow. There's only one example we follow. Who is that example? His name is Jesus. He's not a politician. Right? He's not a politician. He's not even your favorite pastor, your favorite preacher in the world. His name is Jesus. He's the one we are celebrating today. Aren't you thankful? Glory to God. Aren't you thankful? Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that Jesus, he ran his race and he finished? Aren't you thankful for Mary, that young woman who heard the voice of God through the angel and obeyed? Aren't you thankful for Joseph? Aren't you thankful for Joseph who obeyed? Herod could have killed that boy. But the angel came in the middle of the night, woke up in a dream, woke up Joseph, take him. He said, take him. Aren't you thankful Joseph obeyed?
Yes.
He obeyed. Aren't you thankful Mary obeyed?
Yes.
They obeyed. Look at it. Let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing what is right. Sometimes in the world, it looks like most people are getting away by doing what is wrong. People even say, they did it, but nothing happened. You don't know that. You don't know that nothing happened. You don't know that. You may think so. You may think so. But because usually what is advertised on social media isn't always the complete story. I haven't found people talking on social media about reaping negative repercussions from the bad seeds they sowed. They don't talk about it. They don't publicize it. I don't see people on that mission in social media hooked up with all these plugs and everything, dying and holding their last. People don't post those pictures. Have you seen those kind of photos on social? Some of them may post it, but they have to doctor it a little bit. Because most people want to come out and say, look at what God did. Yeah, and that's good. But most people don't tell you the corridor of death that they went through when they went through it. Because when they are going through it, they may not know if they will come out. It is so easy to follow the crowd and do wrong. And say, after all, you know, they got away with it. You don't know that. Actually, part of what I'm preaching to you about today is that I want to show you that a lot of times, people don't get away with it.
Yes.
I want to show you from the Word of God. And I told you earlier on in my message, there are some things you're going to hear you've never heard before. I know that for sure. There's some things I'm going to show you from the Word that you've never seen. I know you've never seen it before. I know it for sure. But I'll show you a little bit of it this morning. And I know the light of the Holy Spirit will shine on this word.
Amen.
As you prepare in this last stretch of this week,
yes,
of this year.
Amen.
You get ready.
Yes.
Get yourself ready for the year.
Yes.
Get yourself ready for your next season.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody say we're going somewhere.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We're excited about it too.
Yes.
Amen. Go with me there. Where were we the last time? 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Was the psalm, that was the psalm that David wrote. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 was the psalm that David wrote. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
1 Chronicles. What's the first thing that must be prominent in order for you to finish well? As you get towards the end of a season, something must be paramount. What is that? It's gratitude. You must be grateful. Every day, you must be grateful. Let's go there to 1 Chronicles 16. Every day, you must count your blessings and name them one by one. Every day. No matter what the season has been like, no matter what your year has been like, no matter what your experiences have been like, you must count your blessings every day. Name them one by one. And say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for January, and I thank you for February, and I thank you for March. I thank you for everything that has happened. I thank you for how you kept us and how you watched over us. I thank you for how you fulfilled your word in our lives. I thank you for how you perfected your promises. I thank you for how you brought us through the desert, how you brought us through the wilderness, how you brought us through the Red Sea, how you helped us cross every mountain. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you, I thank you. I don't know about you, but gratitude is one of my favorite things to do. Glory to God. I love saying thank you, Jesus. I love saying thank you, Jesus, because he's been too good to me. He's been too good to me. Where would I be without the Lord? Where would you be without the Lord? Hallelujah. He saved us. The psalmist said he took our feet out of the miry clay and he set them on a rock to stay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We were languishing, almost losing our lives when Jesus came and raised us out of the pit of hell. Hallelujah. And caused the light of God's glorious gospel to shine upon us. Woo! Come on, shout it out loud. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, I thank you, Lord. It's not even just a song. It's not just a message. It's not just a slogan. It's thank you, Jesus. It's the song of our heart. It's the depth. It's the outcry, Lord. We're so thankful to you for everything that you've done. Gratitude. Gratitude. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. When you get out of this service, I want you to do it again. Look at the people around your family, the people around your home. I don't know what experiences you've had with them, whether they were not so good. Maybe they were good. Maybe some of them were great. But maybe some of them were not so great. But I want you to look at them, each person. Thank you, Lord. And look at them and say, I thank God for you. I thank God. You are a blessing to my life. It's partly because of you that I'm where I am today. Don't take it for granted. Sometimes people lose the things that are most valuable in their lives. Then they start to value it. That's why people go to funerals. A lot of people, they put a lot of money in planning funerals when they never did anything when those people were alive. To value the most important things in our lives, the people, to look at them and say, I thank God for you. I thank God for you. I thank God for you. Gratitude. You see, as you remember, I told you the last time, gratitude and ingratitude, they are both attitudes of the heart and the mind, and they determine not only your personality but also your destination. Gratitude and ingratitude are both attitudes of the spirit and the mind. And they determine not only your personality, but also your destination. I know where you're going. I can tell if you are going to get there. If you have a heart of gratitude, you will get there. It may take a while. It may take a while. There'll be battles to fight and win. There might be some struggle along the way. There'll be little things the enemy will throw across your path. But if you have a spirit of gratitude, my friends, you will arrive at your destination. You will arrive. If you have a spirit of ingratitude, you will not even make it halfway. You will not get halfway. You will not get halfway. Because the poison of ingratitude, the poison of ingratitude will demobilize your heart. You know, to make it in life, you need to have a strong heart. Yes. Bible says a wise man is strong. You have to, for you to make it in life, you have to be strong. I don't care what nation you live in. You must be strong. You have to have a strong heart. When you see people, I mean, the person who we did graduation party yesterday, you know, how many times did you, maybe you just sometimes felt like this is hard. Everybody who has ever done anything in their lives, there are times when you go, this is too hard. This is, I don't think I want to do this. I don't think I want to continue to do this. It's hard. But if you have a strong heart, if you have a strong heart, you get up where it felt so hard. You get up, you dust yourself up. You pick yourself up from the ground. You say, come on, get up. We're going somewhere. We're not there yet. Get up. I didn't get the certificate of graduation yet. I didn't get the diploma yet. I didn't, let's go. I've not inherited the crown of righteousness yet. I don't have my reward. Come on, let's go. It's hard, and sometimes it's tough. You may have to pull yourself up and dust yourself up and hide the tears in your eyes. But you push yourself and you walk, you keep walking towards the finish line. Why? Because you have a strong heart. You will never make it without a strong heart. In this world, you will never make it. This heart, this world is too unfair. It's too unkind. If you are so emotional and so sensitive, and every little thing robs you, and you're so easy to cut, to take offense, and so easy to, you know, be sidetracked, and so you will not make it. The world is too unkind. You will not arrive. But tell your neighbor, we are going somewhere. We have to arrive. We are not there yet. We have to arrive. We're going somewhere. God is taking us somewhere. And until we get to where God is taking us, we're not stopping. There is no stopping for us. There is no stopping. There is no going back. There's no looking back. We're going somewhere. Hallelujah. You have to have a strong heart. Gratitude strengthens the heart.
Yes.
Oh. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says joy. Joy is like, it's like strength for the heart. A broken spirit, the Bible says, weakens the bones. When you have a broken spirit, when you carry sorrow and pain, when you internalize disappointments and failures, you won't make it. The devil will use that. That is the poison that will travel all the way to your heart and demobilize you. But when you have joy in living, when you have joy in pursuing, glory to God, when you have joy in moving, put up that scripture for me. Acts chapter 20 and verse 34. Put it up for me. Is it 34? I hope it is 34. Paul said, none of these things move me. Right? None of these things move me. He said, but that is it? No. That's not it. Acts chapter 24. I think it's, help me, Holy Spirit. Let's find this scripture. Glory to God. Acts chapter 20. Is that verse 24? Do you have 24? Acts 20, 24. Yes. There you go. Thank you. I appreciate it. Look at it. But none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. I have to finish it with joy. You can't afford to incubate sorrow.
No.
You can't afford. I told you the last time, there are some things in your life you must learn, you must train yourself to forget very quickly.
Yes, sir.
You remember this? Yes. You must forget very, some things you must forget very quickly. Mm-hmm. And move on.
Yes.
Don't think about it beyond 24 hours.
No.
If somebody asks you about it, say, what was that? Like you don't remember, like when did that happen? I don't remember that. Joy strengthens the heart. Look at it. None of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy. And the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. This is a man who is headed to Jerusalem to be in, to Rome to be imprisoned. Prophecy after prophecy. There's something bad going to happen to you. Well, first through Jerusalem. He went through Jerusalem first and then to Rome. But as they kept telling him, he did not internalize it. He said, none of these things move me. The more they told him, none of these things move me. You must be strong. Amen. I said, you have to be strong. Amen. If you are not strong, you won't finish. You let all these silly things in life, all these silly things. In fact, train yourself. Don't see them. Amen. Did you see that scripture we read at the beginning of this service? Hebrews chapter 2 verse 2 in the Amplified. Yes, what did he say? Looking away from everything that will distract you. Did you see that scripture? You should not even see it. There are some things you should do. People say, Pastor, did you see that? I said, no. What? You didn't see it. I didn't see it. I didn't see it. You say, everybody saw it. No, I did not see it. I didn't see it. Looking away from all that will distract, but unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. There are some things you shouldn't hear. Like, I didn't, when this, Pastor, did that person said that? They said, I didn't hear it. Everybody heard it. I didn't hear it. You will finish well. Amen. You will not lose your reward. Amen. My friends, nothing just happens in this world. Nothing just happens. There is a reason for everything. Jesus is the reason for this season. But there is a reason for everything in the world. There is a reason for everything in the world. Joy. Am I finished my course? With joy. Hallelujah. Woo! This is not just joy during political season. I hope you know that. This is not just a 6 months joy. No, I'm talking about real joy. Thank you. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. And this is not just joy based on because you have a lot of money in your bank account. This is not just joy because you just got a good letter from somewhere. A good tax break. I understand the government is sending some people some money. I don't think my name is there, but please, somebody put my name on that list. I need every money I can. Hallelujah. But this is joy. This is joy that is based on the word of God, your revelation in the word of God, and the oil of the Holy Spirit. That's the joy the world can't take away from you because the world didn't give it to you. It's not joy based on circumstances. My friends, in order for us to finish, we must have a strong heart. We must have a heart of a giant killer. Must have a heart of a giant killer. Yes. I'm trying to close this quick. I can't close yet. I mean, I won't finish it today. But I can push this a little further. I got to push this. I got to show you something. I haven't showed you those things yet. I've got to show you a couple of things I got to show you. So David, let's be thankful. David said, let's be, 1 Chronicles 16, he said, let's be thankful. You see that? Let's read from verse 2. When David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. He dealt to everyone in Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread, a good piece of flesh, a flagon of wine. He appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. I told you the last time, that word record means to celebrate by calling to mind. By reminding yourself what the Lord did. What do people just say, oh yeah, the Lord has been good to me. What did he do? Because if you are not careful, if you don't call it to mind, Satan will confuse you. It is difficult in the time of adversity to remember the specifics of the goodness of the Lord. Sometimes you can be confronting the same problem that you confronted before and defeated, but because you did not call it to mind specifically, you can lose that next battle. Satan can confuse you and tell you can't win this one. Because you didn't call it to mind. But if you call it to mind and you remember, I won before. If we won before, we will win again. 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 Why? Because the God who is responsible for the victory, he never changes. What God did yesterday, he can do today, he can do tomorrow, he can do forever. So call it to mind. Call it to mind. Remember when you were frustrated and you thought there was no way out, but suddenly God made a way where there was no way, and you are still here today. Call it to mind. Call it to mind. To record. And it goes on in verse 6. Benaiah and all these Levites and priests. And on that day, David delivered first this psalm. Psalm 105 came out of this scripture right here. He delivered this psalm first. Somebody say first. Deliver this psalm to thank the Lord. Gratitude must be first. Deliver this psalm. This is verse 7 of 1 Chronicles 16. Deliver this psalm first. Deliver first this psalm to thank the Lord. Gratitude must be first. Praise must be first. Thanksgiving must be first. If you want to finish well, thanksgiving must be first. Gratitude must be first. It must be first. Give thanks unto the Lord and call upon his name and make known his deeds among the people, and goes on and on. Don't forget. Okay, let's try to wrap this up. It's our Christmas service. I want you to go home and be happy today. Christmas is along the way. But I also want you, after the Christmas festivities, you take some time and begin to prepare yourself for your next season. Close this one out well. Close this one out well. If you flip back 2 pages, I want us to read a couple of scriptures from 2 pages before 1 Chronicles 16. First of them, in 1 Chronicles chapter 14, the Philistines, let's read this from verse 8. When the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. And David heard of it and he went against them. And the Philistines came and they spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, say, God, shall I go up against them? He inquired. Gratitude must be first. But after gratitude, we must inquire. We must seek God. We must seek his face. We must check in with him. He inquired. Hallelujah. He inquired and said, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said, go up. I will deliver them into your hand. And in verse 11, they came up to Baal Perazim. And David smote them there. Then David said, God has broken in upon my enemies by my hand, like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore, they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. I'm going to stop there. You know, I'm coming back. The Lord tarries. I'm coming back to these scriptures in the new year. I want you to look at that verse 11 very closely. They came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. And David said, God has broken in upon my enemies by my hand, like the breaking forth of waters. So they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. Notice, he said it was God who broke through. He didn't say, I broke through. He said, he broke through, but he used my hands. He said, he broke through, but he used my hands. God is the God of all impossibilities. He can do anything he wants to do. But he needs my hands. He needs my hands. My hands are blessed. My hands are blessed. Whatever I lay my hands upon must prosper. My hands are blessed. God can, he can destroy all the Philistines. He can destroy all his enemies from heaven by the blast of his nostrils. But God chooses to use our hands. Chooses to use our hands. So I have to recognize that my hand is an instrument in the hands of God. My hand. It's an instrument. Hands of God. I want you to notice this. You don't see it in the Old Testament, but in that scripture right there, in that verse 11, there's a word he uses to say, God broke out on my enemies. Keep that in mind. There's one word he used there to describe that. And let's go to my last scriptures right here so I can close today and we can go home. God broke through my enemies. Broke out upon my enemies with my hands. They called the name of that place Baal Perazim. Now, the original Hebrew word used here to describe how God broke out on the enemies of God's people. You see how he describes it? Like he broke out upon them like a flood of waters. The Hebrew word he uses there is you won't remember it, but it's a word that means, it means make a breach on something. Scatter something, break something up, destroy something. He burst out on them. He burst out on them. The original word is a Hebrew word. It's spelled P-A-R-A-T, but it really means God broke something. He scattered something. Somebody was trying to build something, but God destroyed it. Somebody was trying to build a house. But God said, it won't stand. Pfft, blew on it and the house fell up. But he still chose to use the hands of his servant. This is a breakthrough by my hands. But it was really God who did it. And at that place, they call God the God of breakthroughs. Let me tell you, when it seems to you like it's so impossible and there's no way around it, you just need the God of breakthroughs. That's all. You don't need grammar. You don't need a lot of talking. You don't need your BFF. You know. You just need the God of breakthroughs. That's all you need. Yes, he knows no impossibility. All right, let's close right here. Now, so he took stock and he went through everything. It was God who did that. He killed the Philistines. And actually, in this particular place, he killed them 3 times. They came against him. He asked God, God, what should I do? He told them. He said, God broke through. The next time he said they came against him, yeah, God, what should I do? Do this. In fact, the last time God said, he said, should I go? He said, God said, no, don't go. You just stay and wait around the mulberry bushes. When you see the angels beginning to walk, you see some movement, then I want you to do so. God gave him instructions every single time. You know why God gave him instructions every single time? Because David always asked. David didn't say, we did this before. How did we do? Let's go back and do it. He's not married to his methods. He always asks God. 2024 is almost over. Right? You're about to enter into 2025. Don't say everything you did in 2023, 2022, and how you... No, go ask God. Some of those things you did in your family, some of those things you did with your business, some of those things you did in your career. Go ask God, God, what do you want us to do with this now? We're getting into the new year. Is there something you want us to do? God, what do you do? God, ask God. Amen. Ask God. Amen. Let's read one last scripture right here. in 1 Chronicles, the next chapter right there, he's still taking stock. As he's taking stock and he's apportioning glory and thankfulness and gratitude to God, he comes to a place where he has to take stock and talk about and deal with directly head on some of the things that did not work right. Some things did not work right. If you look at your year, every season you come through, you have to be honest with yourself. You have to look and look at the first, look at the things you did that were great, look at awesome, glory to God, and give God gratitude for everything. But then you have to look at some things that didn't work right and say, what happened here? What happened? Why didn't this work right? It's not always the devil. It's very easy for believers to say, the devil. It's not always the devil. Sometimes, some things don't work well because of our carelessness. We have to look at it in the eyes and say, this didn't work, not because of the devil, but because I didn't do my part. Because if you don't face it and deal with it before you cross into that new year, you are going to do it again. And if you keep doing it, and if you keep repeating this cycle, you will not make it to your destination. You will not arrive. You have to look at it. So how did we get here? What happened here? You can't just say that was the devil. Remember that Hebrew word I told you in that chapter? Say, look at that word. Say, God broke over my head. That Hebrew word shows up right here, and I'm about to read that word to you now in the next chapter, the very next chapter of this scripture. It's exactly the same Hebrew word. But this time, God was not breaking over, he was not breaking out on their enemies. He was breaking out on them. It's exactly the same word. Something that was supposed to be a blessing to God's people turned around and became a curse. It was not the devil. It was their carelessness. You have to look at your year. If you want to finish well, you have to say, this was good, praise God. That was good, praise. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God, praise. But that one there happened. Why did we miss that? God bless you. Why did we not get that? Why did that fall through? Why did this? Well, you have to ask yourself. And you have to take responsibility. You have to be willing to say, okay, we didn't do what we were supposed to do here. We opened the door. And all Satan needs is a little crack. That's all. And so in this scripture right here, my last one before we close. You see here in 1 Chronicles 14, so we're right back to that last scripture here. 1 Chronicles 15, in verse 11. David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel and all of them. Verse 12. And he said unto them, you are the chief of the fathers and of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. Verse 13. For because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, because we sought him not after the due order. I want you to note this. Not every bad thing that happens in a believer's life is a result of Satan's attack. If you believe that every bad thing that happens in a believer's life is a result of Satan's attack, you will not make it. Because you have believed a lie. Not every bad thing that happens in a believer's life
is a result of Satan's attack.
I want you to finish 2024 well, so that 2025 can be better for you. One of the things you must do, you must look very closely at your 2024. Every part of it. The good, the bad, the ugly. And for the good, you are grateful. You are thankful. But you look at the bad and you look at the ugly. And you must ask, what happened? Look at this. He said, for because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God, what did he do? He made a breach upon us because we sought him not after the due order. And then, of course, the next verse, he goes into the due order. The priests, he started arranging for the priests and the Levites and all of them. Let's close right here today. I'm going to pick this up. The Lord will help us in the new year. I want you to do a search as you close the year. Everyone, young and old, all of us need to do this. Would you stand to your feet with me? Let's close. And I don't mean to close our Christmas service on a somber note. So, you know, we're going to thank God as we close out. But this just happens to be where I have to close because of time today. So, please don't be sad. But I need you to go back and look at your year and say, what happened over there? How come this and how come that? And how do we make sure we don't repeat this? And we must be willing, we must be open enough with ourselves to say, and you know, the man who wrote this about God's due order actually told us what God's due order is. And I'll talk to you about it in the new year. He actually told us God's due order. How do we make sure that breach? I told you that word. You remember? In a parrot, right? You remember that word? It's exactly the same word he used in 1 Chronicles 14, I think 13. It's exactly the same word he used in 1 Chronicles 15, 11. It's the same word. Breach. Broke out. But in the first chapter, he broke out on their enemies. In the second one, he broke out on them. Why? Because they did not do, they did not follow God's due order. You have to align your life and your decisions. Everything matters, my friends. Everything matters. Not everything bad that happens in the life of a believer is Satan. Satan, no. There are some things that our carelessness does. Tell your neighbor, there's nothing wrong with the ark. But sometimes, there's something wrong with us and the things we do. Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with the ark. I want us to thank God for our Lord Jesus Christ today. We're going to take communion as we close out. Let's thank God for what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. He gave us the opportunity to have a new beginning. Hallelujah. He gave us a chance, you know, 2024, no matter what it's represented for us. I mean, many of us, you can recount God's goodness and God's this and God's glory to God, the year of the first man, breakthroughs and God-class exploits. But in the midst of that, if you look closely, you might see there are some areas where you did not have God's best. But in spite of that, 2025 can be better. You can have a glorious 2025. Hallelujah. We can enter into 2025 on eagle's wings. We can just get up there and begin to ride on the waves of glory and enter into the glorious things that God has prepared for us. Hallelujah. Why? Because we finally aligned ourselves with God's due order. Thank you, Father. Would you lift up your hands? Let's bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. We bless your holy name. Thank you, God. Let's thank God one more time for Jesus. Let's bless his name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For 2024, for everything that the Lord has done for us, he has been so good. He has been awesome. He has been mighty. He has been faithful. We give him the glory. We give him the praise. We give him the honor. We give him the worship. He is worthy. He is worthy. He alone deserves the honor. He alone deserves the praise. He alone deserves the glory. We magnify your holy name. We exalt you, our God. We bless you, precious Savior. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for our Savior. Thank you for our Messiah. We magnify your holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much.